Hello and welcome to Buster Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother Scott Charlesworth.
Hello. Hello.
How you bloody feeling, mate? How the bloody hell are ya?
Well rested.
Well breasted.
Yep. I feel explosive.
Yeah.
I feel ready to take on this movie because I don't know. I've just been excited all day. I've been writing notes on my on the lounge over there, on the casting couch.
Me? I just write my notes on my forearm. I just scribble that shit there.
Yeah, you're pretty crazy like that.
Yeah, man. I'm like Memento. I just feel it.
You just have pictures of little clues and things, so you're keeping yourself guessing when you're writing your notes all the time.
I do.
Yeah. You are a Christopher Nolan directorial debut. I do see that about you.
You know what I am? Is I'm in a world of pain right now.
Oh, no.
So.
All right. Therapy session.
This morning.
What's wrong?
This morning I was at work, right? And I was chewing some gum, chatting to a mate. And I've never done this before, but I laughed. And when I laughed, I breathed in and the gum shot at the back of my throat, like right there. And I was like, that doesn't feel right. And I was, eyes are watering, not feeling good. As I drove home, I could still feel it at the back of my throat. I thought, you know, it's going to fall down, dissolve, whatever, do its thing, stay in my stomach for 7 years.
Oh, shit.
No, it's still there at the back of my throat. It feels like a little spider's just like its legs in my throat sticking out, you know, not trying to fall into the acid. I can just feel it right there.
Wow, that was incredibly vivid. So vivid, in fact, that I am starting to feel a little goober manifest itself in my thyroid region.
You know when it's bad when you have phlegm right there?
That's what it feels like?
It's like
that phlegm tickle.
But way worse. Oh. Because it's gum, because it's like solid.
It's like phlegm on steroids.
Yeah.
You poor soul.
I know.
You have stepped into the correct office today for some therapy.
Yeah.
I'm very, very happy to help you with this.
Shot right back.
That's shit.
Like, really hard. I was like, what is going on? This is not good.
Compared to, like, when you get a bug stuck in your throat, is it way worse or is it slightly better?
Because slightly better, I feel.
Okay, yeah, because you're avoiding the wriggle around of legs and wings.
Yeah, you know a bug could still move in there.
Yeah,
that's not good. I don't want any of that.
You don't want any of that. Hey,
I was going to ask, have you put anything down your throat recently?
Other than savoury biscuits and tasty cheese, no.
A bit of innuendo there.
Look, I know, because the movie that we watched is quite sexual. There's a lot of boobies, doodles, and butts.
Yep.
And even a bit of quim in it as well.
There's a bit of quim, there's a bit of quim. Cock.
I know that's where your mind is at right now, but no.
No, it's at the gum at the back of my throat.
Hey, before we continue, I just need to double check that is recording up there. I just, for peace of mind, I need to double check right now. Before we get too far into it, because I don't know.
Let's leave all this in, though.
We'll leave all of
this
in.
I'll do a commentary.
All right,
so Scott's currently taking off his headphones. He's standing up. He's put the headphones on the ground. He's turned around. He's checked the phone. Oh, he looks...
Thank fuck.
It is recording. We have done this before where we've started the podcast and we haven't actually recorded. Scott's currently putting his headphones back on. He's done a big breath of relief.
Close call.
That's two therapy sessions in one.
Let's get into
this movie.
Let's hop right into it. The movie that we did watch this week was Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the director, please.
Oh, I'm gonna stuff this up.
You get that?
You know, I know it's Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yes,
I butchered that hard.
Hey, but that's fine.
Yorgos Lanthimos, I believe.
You did a good job though.
Yeah.
It's a retelling of Alistair Gray's novel. Scottish
novelist,
Scottish novelist or author. I'm not sure the date when the original book came out, but
I believe it was 1972.
Was it actually?
No. Pulled that one right out of the anus.
Oh, look at you go. Yeah, that's incredible. But yes, we did watch Poor Things, and what a movie it is. Before we start, I just need the seed, a piece of your opinion to be put on the table so we can set the tone. for what we're going for.
Because we didn't watch this movie together.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we haven't watched the movie together.
First time in 60-something episodes that we haven't watched it together.
Which is a milestone, in itself.
Yeah, felt weird. But anyway, keep going. What's your question?
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I did enjoy
it. You did enjoy it.
I did enjoy
it.
Oh,
good. Okay.
I bloody enjoyed it, mate. I bloody enjoyed it.
We're going to be on the same page. I'm very happy about this.
But...
mate, oh, shit. Fuck me.
I know that a lot of people have gone, you know, Joe Bonkers bananas over this movie.
They have, yeah.
I'm probably not at that level.
Okay.
I'm probably not at that level. And we'll get into the one reason why.
Okay. Okay. That's fair enough. I am probably close to that level.
I'm glad.
I'm not.
I'm glad.
I'm not at the level where I think this movie is. It's not the first Toy Story by any means. But it is fucking up there for me.
You're not giving it all the nugs, but you're giving it a lot of nugs.
I'm giving it a fair share of nugs.
Okay, I feel like I'm giving it a fair share.
Okay, I just wanted to get that off the table first before we go.
You were worried I wasn't going to like it.
No, I really thought you were going to either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
But you're kind of in the middle, which is a bit of a surprise for me, actually.
More leaning to love it.
Yes.
But I'm not at that letterbox stage where a lot of the people... especially on Letterboxd, are like, you know, it's 5 stars bananas over there and everyone's loving it.
Well, that's it, because like that sort of platform, it's, you know, it thrives on these artsy sort of movies. Like the movie film buffs really eat this shit up because it's got everything, the cinematography, acting, everything. It's just so good. All right, I'll give you a little synopsis.
Yeah, give me a synopsis.
It's very short. I cut a bit of it out because it was a bit long. But brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist, a young woman runs off with a lawyer on a whirlwind adventure across the continents. Very broad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't give away anything insane that happens in this movie, which a lot of fucking crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
A lot of hot sex. A
lot of hot sex. Heaps of hot sex. The intro, though. We need to talk about that intro because, by God... as soon as it switched on and it was that beautiful blue backdrop and Emma Stone looking into the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of a warning as well. We're going to be talking about suicide a little bit. So, you know, it's a sensitive topic. But Emma Stone's character at this time was Victoria.
That's right. She was Victoria. Yeah.
Victoria.
Married to...
Alfie.
Alfie.
Married to Alfie. Blessington. Alfie Blessington.
Ah, yes. Goat man.
Bless his little goat soul.
Yeah. The goat. The goat. Absolute goat.
Alfie the goat.
Yeah, yeah.
Victoria about to jump into the fucking water, into the River Thames in London. And she did do that. That's,
allegedly.
That scene with like the slow-mo intensity of her just like looking into dread, basically. The color palette, all like blue and like her skin kind of just like popping out of it sort of thing. It was just, oh man, it just was surreal and
very
weird.
Melancholic.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like
it's learning.
I don't know. Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you.
I don't know. I just like the whole, that whole setting just started the movie off for me. And I'm like, wow, we're going to get some artsy shit in this.
I also like
not the- artsy shit. Well, we did get some artsy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, we're going to get some artsy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
Sniffing dates, mate. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, just, that's right.
I enjoyed the little title cards when it was like showing the little fabric and then it had the actors' names around. That was cool.
That was very
That's
cool.
That's how I knew it was going to be an artsy film. Yes. Actually, I knew it was going to be an artsy film when I saw the searchlight pictures.
Oh, yeah, you know, once searchlight's involved, mate. It's like, oh, it's just full guns blazing at that point.
All right, well, should we just rip right in?
Rip it.
Story. Did you enjoy it? Obviously, you did.
I really liked the story. Yeah, I loved it. Had a very nice progression. It was very character-driven, the story.
Mm.
It wasn't very much world-building, even though there was elements to that, but it was character-central, which I kind of prefer to world-building movies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I like a balance, obviously, but this really knew what it wanted to be, and it concentrated on giving each of the characters like such a great amount of depth that they could leave an impact on Bella's character.
Bella's story was really interesting from...
Very, very interesting. You know, let's just talk about the actual synopsis that we can provide is that Victoria was taken out of the water...
By Godwin. Willem Dafoe, our boy.
Yeah. Amazing in this film, anyways. With his
big googly face, all gnawing out and stuff.
His porridge face.
His big porridge face, yeah.
And Godwin got Victoria's body, surgically removed a brain, and found out she was pregnant, put the baby's brain in her skull, and reanimated her Frankenstein style.
Yeah. Sick.
Whoa. That's insane.
And then, my favorite quote, what a pretty retard.
What a pretty... I knew you were going to bring that up.
She was.
Yeah. Well, what's his name again? Let's go back. That was...
His name is Willem Dafoe.
No.
Actor for Max McCandles.
We're jumping to Max McCandles just there.
Max McCandles right now.
The love interest of Bella Baxter. First time he sees her. That's the quote.
Yeah, I know. he gets a real stiff date.
Yeah, he does get a real stiff date.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, so more on the progression of her character, being the central anchor point of the story, obviously.
So obviously because she's in an adult woman's body, her brain develops quicker, we see, during this movie.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's probably just for, like, story purposes anyway, because he wanted to show the progression of, like, a child in the real world and what they see and
exactly
how good it is to have a child's perspective sometimes on real world events and, you know, instead of being the cynic like Harry, which we'll get to.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. Because like it begins off, you have like the black and white setting, right?
Yeah.
It's very one dimensional. Black and white. Like, it's just like a child's perspective of like good and bad.
Also, I read.
It's very just like... This is the world. It's good here, bad here, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yorgos, the director,
actually
did that because children can't see color for the first, like, 6 months, apparently.
Yeah, that is...
So that's why it was in black and white.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
That could have been one of them. I like that little bit of knowledge you just dropped there.
Yeah, mate, I watched a bit of behind the scenes. You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, all right. Mr. Know-it-all over there.
Of course...
You're like a sponge.
In that black and white sort of time... Godwin doesn't want her to go out in the world because she's a young child. It's sort of like very protective at that point.
Yeah, Godwin is, he's like, sometimes he's a helicopter parent, but then sometimes he's like, yeah, just like mess around in my lab and stab some dead cadavers with scalpels and flick shit.
Flick a little chode.
Yeah.
What about her just picking up the little chode and boop, boop?
I never thought I'd see the day of Emma Stone just playing with a tiny chode.
Yeah,
on screen.
Incredible. And then incredible stabbing cinema. A dude's eyes. She played with a man's chode and then stabbed his eyes. Incredible.
That was very funny. That was a hilarious scene.
Hilarious. This movie was very funny.
It's my kind of humor. It's like absurd. It's absurdist and it's dark humor melded together perfectly.
Mm.
Like that sort of thing is just, it's a melting pot of goodness right there.
Then, of course, Max comes in and then sort of, it's like, well, we need to show her the world a little bit. She can't just be sheltered this whole time.
That's right, yeah.
So I reckon...
Well, it was...
He's like the cool mum, almost.
That's a bit weird to say, seeing as Max is the love interest of Bella.
Well, you know, it could be filmed in, like, the Alabama of London. Yeah, I don't know.
The cool uncle. Oh, that's even worse.
No, that makes it way worse.
Oh, yeah, the cool uncle.
Cool uncle, yeah.
Oh, how hot's that? I got my cool uncle. Oh, yeah. Fuck me. Oh, but yeah, I really enjoyed the black and white setting at the first part of the film.
Yeah.
And it really just kind of separated, I mean, every like section of it with the different settings that they went to was like separated by like new color palettes and things like that, that kind of indicated she's in a new stage of her learning and a new stage of her mental progression.
Well, then I guess...
Really cool.
When she meets Duncan, Mark Ruffalo's character.
Yes.
Who's the best character.
The best! Oh, I'm so happy you agree because he is fucking hilarious.
And then he takes her to... where was it?
Lisbon.
Lisbon.
Yeah.
And the colour palette goes from like a little bit more colourful when they've been to the park and she's finally seen the outside world. And now she wants to explore because that's what a child wants to do, curiosity. And then it gets to Lisbon and you notice how it was very saturated.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing memes where it's like, that's the kind of thing you see when you're like a kid. And then when you get an adult, it just goes dark and grey.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have that curiosity anymore.
That's my
interpretation.
That's right.
Cars.
Yeah, because, but she, in this point in her life though, she's more in her like teenager sort of stage when she goes to Lisbon. That's like
early teens, I'd say.
Early, no, I guess so, but
Which makes it weird that she's having sex with Duncan. But I'll get to that.
There's a moral dilemma in the entire thing.
Makes me feel a little weird about it.
Well, it makes you feel a lot weird considering that Max was attracted to her naivety at the very beginning, like brother in Christ, man. Like what the fuck? And then like at the end of the film, Bella gets back. And she's aware that he was just attracted to that part of her at the beginning.
Mm.
And then he's like, oh no, I'm attracted to all of you now. And then she's just like, okay. I was like, what the fuck, man? But
you are a pedophile. Sorry, we can say it at this point in the video because I think with YouTube guidelines, if you say it at the start, it's bad. But at this point, it's fine.
Let's be honest, bro. We're not getting monetized for this shit.
No, but I just meant like...
It's not happening. It's not happening. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the colour palette change is so oversaturated when they go to Lisbon. It's just this massive explosion of, whoa, there's more to the world than just this confined space I've been living in my whole life.
Yeah, it's rigorous jumping.
Rigorous jumping. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the little sweet cakes that she was put... The tarts that she was eating.
I love it that Mark Ruffalo was just like, yeah... I'm the best at sex. It's a shame that you've started off with me.
Because when it's only he's lying next worse. To her. Yeah.
Oh, the best character.
He is the best. What's his name here? Duncan. Wedderburn.
But
Wedderburn.
He was kind of attracted to her naivety as well, in a weird way.
He was.
But he thought he was a savior.
A hypocrite and a liar, though, I would say, because one quote that he does say to Bella at the very beginning when he's about to take her away, I do not care for polite society. It's fucking boring.
Like, but then...
But then, obviously, you see the cracks appear later in the movie when he's like, polite society is the only way to live sort of thing.
Yeah.
Even though he's a scoundrel himself. It's a hypocritical, great character. Yeah.
Oh, he's... He was hilarious. Yeah. Every time that he gets cheated on as well, poor dude's just like crying. And
it's like, whoa, why is it me?
And then, of course, we go from Lisbon.
Yes.
Because then
to the beach.
She gets a bit crazy with the whole dance scene and stuff like that. So,
oh.
Which we'll get to.
Should we just get to it now?
Yeah,
talk to it now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the dance scene was the best sequence of the entire film.
Unbelievable. Now, so most of the movie was shot in like constructed sets and things like that.
Let me guess, that was shot on location.
Yeah, that was shot on location. Yes, it was. And they used a lot of natural practical lighting in that scene as well because the director was like, no, I don't want that artificial lighting. Don't want it. Don't want a bar of it. Mm. And then just went, yep, we'll put some lamps in there. We'll use the skylight in the room in that like old building.
Well, that's what we do as well. We've actually got the sun.
Yeah, right, we actually there. Do. And no artificial lighting going on at the moment. We are shooting in the middle of the day, obviously.
Middle of the day.
Yeah. You can see the sun coming through the side there.
And the sun up there, we've cut a massive hole on our roof. At our little, I guess, podcast studio so that we have the sun coming down. Because we were inspired by this movie.
We were inspired by the sun.
By the sun. Which is Yorgos.
Yorgos.
Our boy.
Shout out.
Shout out Yorgos.
So, and then that like created the atmosphere for that room, which felt really like naturally well lit sort of thing.
The dance sequence was hilarious. But...
It was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And the cut shot to the band just... Getting into it all deadpan faced.
Yeah.
And then Bella's just like, oh, yeah, all right, let's get into it.
Like, it made sense for Bella to do weird dance moves, but then Duncan just joins in and knows, yeah.
But Duncan was drunk off his tits by that point, so it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that is also true.
And they've been eating lavish food and whatever. They're just all gluggy from the...
Oh, you know you get your boogie on when you had some lavish food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to get your boogie on when you're in Lisbon. Love that.
Then, of course, they go from there and he gets embarrassed by her because they get in that massive fight.
Yes.
And they move to the boat.
They do move to the boat.
Because he wants to keep her contained.
Wait, can we talk about the dinner scene a little bit more as well? Is this Lisbon or is this the boat where she slaps him in the face? Is that the boat?
No, that's Lisbon.
Is that in Lisbon?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the... what's the quote? I got the quote right here.
The quote was, "Ow, you slapped me."
No, it's like, oh. And then they start making out ferociously.
Oh, yeah, that. No, it actually was. You said, "Ow," yeah.
Yeah. I forgot. It goes, oh. And then just start fucking just smooching it.
Yeah, so hot.
You confine yourself to three phases. How marvelous, delighted, and how do they make the pastry so crisp, yes?
That's right. And then the way she incorporates it in the conversation
it's
is
like, the lady was like, my brother died or something?
And she's like, how marvelous.
How do they make the pastry so crisp?
All right, whilst we're talking about Duncan, though.
The best character in the movie.
Best character in the movie, but I can't pinpoint Mark Ruffalo's accent in this. It goes British to sort of like European-y, like Frenchy sort of.
Yeah.
To Mark Ruffalo American at points. It like does. He doesn't have a great accent in this.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think it's great.
Okay, I've got a rebuttal for you. So I understand that there's a bit of a mishmash of accents going on in this movie.
Mm.
Mark Ruffalo is supposed to be playing the high class, traditional British, you know, sort of person, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very, very high class sort of guy, but he's a scum. But yes, he's like melding between the American a little bit in points.
Sometimes real Mark Ruffalo comes out, and I'm like, that's just Hulk.
And this is not... it's just smart Hulk coming through.
Tony,
right now.
What are you doing? Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's an MCU crossover.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's surreal enough to get away with it. In my opinion, like, I know that it's bothering you. It's itching you.
It didn't bother me heaps. It just was noticeable. And I was like, that's not the best accent.
It kind of just made his character even more funny, though.
It did make it more funny.
I thought it was just hilarious.
But in each scene, he had a different accent, I feel. And it didn't, like, evolve into one. It was just, like, random.
Whatever, he gets up and he's talking to... Godwin in his office when he's like signing the contract to oversee the marriage between Max and Bella.
Oh, yeah.
The first introduction to Duncan.
Yes.
And he's like, I have to go use the facilities.
Yeah.
It's like, and then Godwin's like, do you have the bladder of a 5-year-old?
Yes.
Like, you probably have prostate cancer.
Yes, that's right. You should get that checked.
I will. Will do. Yeah, nah. Look, I kind of agree with you, but I only agree with you in the sense that it makes it more entertaining for me.
It definitely makes it more entertaining.
I get what you're coming
that
from,
is,
though.
That is true, though. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
It definitely makes it more entertaining.
It's, yeah. The comedy in this movie is just so quick-witted. It's got a very, a British-style sense of humor about it.
Mm, yeah.
Even though it's mostly American actors playing it, which is kind of cool.
It is, yeah, and a Greek director.
Yes. Bit
I
different.
Think, unless he's Greek American or Greek British. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe he's a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Greek. Just Greek.
Just Greek.
Oh, just Greek.
Very nice.
Yeah, very good.
Shout out Greece.
Yeah, he made like the lobster in that.
Did he actually?
Yeah.
Okay. So a movie that I haven't seen. But it's on the bucket list.
It's on the bucket list, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get on to my second little niggle.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Which is... Okay, she's got the mind of a child.
Oh, no. Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, that's why I saved this to a bit later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of sex with Bella.
Yes, yes, of course.
Does that mean that they're weird?
Wait, the character, everyone's weird in this movie.
I know everyone's weird.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like,
I understand where you're coming from.
Does that technically make them, like, pedophiles? You know, a predator? Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. more so Duncan than anybody else.
But it just...
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it much during the movie.
No.
But on reflection, I was like, wow, that's a little strange.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people told the director... What's his name again? Sorry.
Yorgos. Yorgos Lanthimos.
A lot of people told Yorgos not to make this movie because it was a book and all of this stuff is in the book, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
So people like, you can't make that movie. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why, because of this kind of moral dilemma stuff.
Mm. I mean, just, you can't have the whole morals of this story without her being a child and having the childlike perspective on the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So, because like in every part... And every character that she meets, she learns like a new lesson.
And I don't think this movie's trying to like do that, obviously.
No, of course not. Yeah.
It's trying to tell a message in an entertaining way. But that's just like a side effect of the message that they're trying to tell through the way they're trying to tell it.
I mean, but of course, though, it's fucking weird.
But I can't just go, you know what? This is the best movie ever.
No.
Because of this, I'm like, you know, it's still a little
it's
thing.
It's fucked up. Mind. It's fucked up.
You know,
yeah.
She is still she's got a child's mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what it's trying to portray, and what it successfully does is what would a person be like if they had no conception of societal norms and they were just let into society to explore, and that's the main thing.
Yes,
where it is, it's like. You've had a hard... It's less about, like, a baby brain in her head. It's more of a hard reset, fresh brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where they want you to be thinking.
Exactly,
It's like, okay, what is a person, or particularly in this instance, what's a woman going to do in this era and in this world where there's no constraints to her thinking and no subconscious saying, don't do that, don't say that, don't act that way. She's just experiencing things how she thinks, like
wants to do.
It wants to do, and whether that is irrational or, you know, and sometimes there's a lot of great points. Like, why are we forced to swallow shitty food?
Yeah,
if we don't like the taste of it in like if you're like at a restaurant or something.
Fancy thing, yeah.
Or like you're just trying to play nice. Sometimes a bit of blunt reality is a good thing. It's refreshing.
And she sees like the bad stuff at Alexandria, I believe, when Harry shows her all the poor people and she wants to actually do something about it.
Yes.
Whereas he knows it's bad, but he's like, oh yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. He's just given up.
And that's the nihilist point of view, isn't it?
Mm.
What's his name again?
Harry.
Harry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting character. I liked Harry.
Yeah, he was awesome, yeah.
And there's...
and the old lady.
Yeah.
They were fun.
I think they were very fun and they had that similar sort of... thought process, but it was from different perspectives. A young man and an old woman, both experiencing different forms of life, but with that similar, like, the world's just fucked. It's cruel.
Yeah,
it's
cruel. They didn't care.
That's an interesting point. Alexandria was a very poignant part of the film, wasn't it? Like, even though it was short, but that left a scar.
Yeah, it changed a lot. And then she realized, oh man, like I gotta do stuff and become a prostitute.
Yeah. It basically just started when she stole Duncan's money and gave it and in goodwill thought that they, the sailors were going to give it to the poor people of Alexandria.
They just obviously didn't. They probably blew it on schmack.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, who wouldn't, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just the weight of the world.
It's the weight of the world. What about... So then, of course, she goes to Paris.
Yes.
And then becomes a prostitute for that weird lady.
Yeah, yeah. Winley?
I don't know. She's gross.
Yeah, she's pretty wild.
Whoever the...
Sweeney. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played by Catherine Hunter.
Sweeney Todd.
Who I've seen pop up in a couple of movies. I don't know specifically what, but I think she's in Harry Potter.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
I'm pretty sure she's in some of the Harry Potter movies.
Anyway, the whole montage of all like the gross dudes
coming to sex it up
was quite funny, especially when that guy, there was the little crab man, and he crawls up and snips her hair, and he
what the fuck, bro.
I thought I was watching The Hills Don't Have Eyes or whatever. And then The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. The Hills Don't Have Eyes in that
The
case.
Hills Don't Have Eyes.
Oh, mate.
Oh, my favourite movie, The Hills Don't Have Eyes.
Yeah. So scary because they're just not watching you.
It's just footage of hills.
Yeah, and that's it. Fucking scary.
Yeah, it was a sextage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A montage of sex.
She was like tied up at one point and that dude was like biting her leg or something.
Yeah, that was wild. And, you know, it showed the kind of like another perspective of it. So before, when she was in Lisbon, this exhilarating thing that she just can't get enough of. And then like at this point when she's just trying to make a buck out of it.
Yeah.
And then it's like kind of showing like the gritty grossness of it as well. Like the other side of, you know, what sex can be.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And it's... I just love it how many different perspectives she's exposed to, and by the end of it, she just takes bits of everything.
Yeah,
kind of then, forms her own sort of way of thinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Forms of the, you know, the good, the bad.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of everything.
The ugly,
good, bad, and ugly. All right. What was a standout part of this movie? Can be like a singular quote or just a funny scene that you haven't mentioned yet, or something that. Even like going back to the beginning or like a Willem Dafoe part we haven't even talked about yet.
When Bella first discovers about masturbation.
That and then, is fucking hilarious.
And then she's at the dinner table and that maid comes over and she's like, here, I'll help you out. And then the maid's like, oh, she just touched my hairy business.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got that written down.
That was very funny.
That gave me a giggle.
How about you?
Oh, I mean, like, following that immediately, what does,
I don't know, you tell me, mate.
Max?
Yeah, Max.
It's just like, Bella, cease working yourself immediately. Like, when she grabs an eggplant or an aubergine, as the British say. And just starts trying to ram it up there.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, stop fondling. You can't be doing that at the table.
I mean, I guess...
Yeah.
God rules these days.
The rules these days.
I remember the good old days where you used to be able to go to a table and do what you want. You know? You used to
be able to get your bits out at the table.
You used to go to a Papa John's. All right. You'd order a Cabrizi pizza. They'd serve it up, open it up, and I go, that's great. Yep. Now I want to start working myself. And you could, and everyone would, and it was fine.
It was socially acceptable.
It was after 11 p.m. on a Thursday. All right. And everyone used to enjoy it. I used to have olives, extra olives on my pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was an amazing time.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't say or do anything these days. Yeah, so now I can't. And there's no Papa John's in Australia, so we're all fucked. Stupid.
You can't wank off anywhere.
I just want to wank off right now.
This movie's getting you worked up.
Mate, it's getting me roiled up.
Oh,
absolutely.
You know who couldn't get roiled up? Was Godwin.
Oh, yeah.
Poor man.
Oh, yeah. His nutsack got branded.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's insane. There was like,
so hot.
You know, it was... You know what was hilarious, though, is every time he would just talk about a dark thing about the torturous thing that his father did to him, and he's just, like, it's just so off the cuff, like it's a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And then Max is like, good God.
Yeah. Good God, man.
Good God, man. He's like, yeah, you know, my father, he, like, removed glands from my stomach, so I have to be strapped up to this thing when I eat, and I burp massive bubbles now.
Oh, yeah, what was up with that, where he burped in the giant...
That was very Willy Wonka-ish.
Oh, it was just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing to watch.
Oh, street racing. There we go.
That was nice.
Delicious.
Comparisons to some other movies visually, I want to point out to you. Already said. Deadpool 3. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not Charlie, but Willy Wonka specifically.
More like Willy Wanker.
Yeah. I don't know, like the camera shots and things like that with the...
I don't know if you heard, I said more like Willy Wanker.
Thank you. Thanks, Ben. We love that one. That was good.
I said more like Willy Wanker. Sorry.
No, that was funny the third time you said it.
Mm.
And bit of Waiting for Godot with like the matte painting backdrops that were CGI affected.
Oh, yeah.
That gave me like a sense of like Okay, this is a weird feeling. You know when you look at a hill, this is a weird comparison. I'm going on...
Do the hills have eyes or no eyes?
I'm going on a tangent here. Right. You look at a hill or like some sort of horizon and you see maybe like grey sky and it's just like flat grey sky and you don't know what's beyond it.
Yep. Yeah, I got you.
That's what matte paintings kind of give off. They give off that sort of visual... imagery. And you, if you watch the 2001 Waiting for Godot movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And this movie kind of had similar shots in it.
Is that like when it's like panning to someone's head and then it had like the blurred sort of...
Not exactly.
Curvature background behind it? That looked cool as well.
That's more a Clockwork Orange vibe, which I also had a comparison
more
for.
More like a Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah,
He's redeemed himself.
Yeah.
He's redeemed himself.
He's done it. He's done well.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you've done well.
Yeah.
But that weird sort of don't know what's beyond the horizon sort of thing, especially in the beginning shot, the intro with... Bella, well, it's Victoria at that point, and the blue, the blue and stuff. It reminded me of that. Like it was like, well, core memory right here, taking me back to that movie.
Before we wrap this up, so I do have to get to work.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're gonna have to drive out of here like in
12 minutes.
Time.
12 minutes.
Bella Baxter, I must go punch that baby.
Oh, that was amazing as well. That was amazing. We got to talk about Annie, what's his name? Her terrible ex-husband.
Yeah, Arnie? No, it's not.
Anus. Alfie.
Alfie.
Alfie. Yes. Alfie Blessington.
Alfie Blessington. My God, the goat. The goat himself.
Yes, the goat. Yeah. Yes. That took me a while to click. I was like, bro, he was an asshole. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Okay. A moment of doubt in the movie. The wedding scene, which was great. But I thought it was going to drag when she decided to go with them.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
No.
And I was very pleasantly surprised.
They wanted to snip off her clit.
Yeah.
That was...
That's pretty fucked up.
That was very fucked up.
Yeah.
Also...
A golden clit snipper.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you do it in luxury, right?
I used one last week. Absolutely tanked me. That's because there's no Papa John's where you can wank anymore. I mean, we're living in a shit society, Scott. Poor neighbours.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, their poor ears.
Probably quite loud.
So, okay, more on this scene, or more on this character, you should say.
Yes, yeah, well.
Alfie the Goat.
He's obviously was very controlling, and that's what led Victoria to her suicide.
Yes.
She didn't want the baby with him and thought it would be best for the baby to not grow up with such a terrible father.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's why she obviously killed herself.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he finds her and brings her back to his place and tries to conform her back to like her old self.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's clearly an arsehole. We see that with a few examples. Probably the best one is when he makes the dog bark at the maid who drops all the soup on her and he just is laughing at her.
And maniacal. It's just like, this guy is a fucking psycho.
Yeah, he's like, you can't escape. He's just holding a gun everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it was great. But when he gets shot in the end, when he's like, yeah.
In his foot. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to drink the drink with the chloroform in it or whatever it had in it.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, why didn't she just hit it in his face? And then she did. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, psychic abilities right there.
And obviously he shoots himself in the foot. And she's like, we have to save him when she brings him back to Godwin's place. And Max is there. We have to save him or he's got to bleed out. You reckon he would bleed out from a foot wound?
No, it's more part of her plan to mess his head up. Yeah. Like, let's be honest.
Again, that's not a problem. I said that as if it was a problem.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was more just like a statement.
That was a little bit of Godwin coming through there.
Yeah.
And saying, you know what? We have a body right here. Let's experiment on it.
Yeah.
And she performed her first surgery.
It kind of works out good, though, for everyone. Because technically, Alfie's dead.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have his brain. So he isn't understanding that he's a goat now.
No. Oh, unless his brain was put in a goat.
Oh. Well, we don't know that.
I mean, it's not going to fit in a goat's head.
It's probably not going to fit in a goat's head. Nah. Unless they make a weird big goat head.
Yeah, true. But I love. Oh, side note. Love the little animals running around Godwin's house.
Oh, yeah. The dog duck things and stuff.
Yeah. The duck barking.
Yes.
That was good.
I think it's fine for him because he isn't him. He's just a goat.
He is not him.
It's just the goat's now got a new body.
Yeah.
And they've probably got rid of his brain, so he's actually dead.
And he's grass-fed. Like, man, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It was a very happy ending. I think I've got a little thing here. It's more for Bella's character. Like, Bella has taken pieces from her experience whilst traveling the world and finally has formed her own view on things, following in Godwin's footsteps, but running the surgery her way and running her life her own way.
Yeah. She's got, we haven't even talked about her, have we? What's her name? Tonette.
Yeah.
She's got her around. Yes. Her and Max. I don't know what the situation is there, but I'm sure they can figure that one out. Maybe it's a bit of, you know.
Yeah.
I get Max on weekends sort of thing. I'm not too sure.
Nah, Tonyette's just like chilling out. She's just like, yeah, just vibing. We'll talk about political structures of society and stuff.
There's the other...
Mrs. Prim?
No, the other...
Oh, yes. Child's
brain in a
adult played body. By Margaret Qualley.
Felicity,
that's it. Yeah. Which was...
It's Godwin's like, coping mechanism for Bella leaving.
Yeah. Quick note.
Yeah.
I know you have to go.
No, I got 7 minutes.
Oh, shit. Just him thinking about Bella as an experiment the entire time at the beginning, fully dismissing her. Then when she finally leaves and you see that he misses her.
Yeah.
And his further progression in his grief.
Yeah.
And actually developing cancer.
Yeah.
Through his grief sort of thing.
Mm.
And then eventually killing him, but him dying whole with her by his side. Like, it's a sad but kind of beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah. And I just wanted to get deep right there. Just wanted to drop that bomb on you.
That's got me well teared up. Well teared up.
Well,
shall we get
if we dive two more, you're going to be late.
There's probably a lot more that we haven't covered. No, there is a lot more that we haven't covered.
A lot more. But
it's a shame. I mean, it's probably good because we could probably talk about this movie for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Part two, poor things.
Yeah.
But I reckon we cut it there because otherwise we're going to get boring anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get into quick trivia. This was nominated for a lot of Oscars. The ones that it won were winner in costume design, production design.
Makes sense.
Emma Stone won actress, best performing actress in a leading role.
That's fantastic because she was able to create or keep the progression of Bella's character going through different sections of filming.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned it, but she was incredible in this movie.
Insane.
All of them were amazing. Acting spot on.
Yeah.
And also... best achievement in makeup and hairstyling. So they won 4 Oscars. Not that the Oscars mean shit.
Well deserved, but, though.
I thought that was worth mentioning.
Yeah. Ruffalo should have gotten Best Supporting Actor, though. 100%.
Yeah. He was so good.
He was so good.
He probably got
not
nominated.
Not for his accent, though.
he did get nominated, at least.
So. Okay, yeah.
You mentioned about how the ballroom scene was shot on location where the rest were shot on a soundstage.
Yeah.
So good on you there. Oh, and I already mentioned this one as well about the babies not seeing colour. So,
Well, you basically covered it then.
Nah, there's one more. All right. Willem Dafoe described the makeup process as 4 hours in, 2 hours out every day. He said, "I'm showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting in a chair, meditating, and trying to deal with standing still. You can't sleep because it's intricate enough that you've got to work with the people applying it. It's a grind."
Yeah. It's a grind. It man's on his grind, but he'll do anything for cinema.
God damn you, Will.
Yeah.
So that was all, obviously, the prosthetics look great on him.
Amazing.
Really, really good prosthetics.
The postmodern Frankenstein.
Mm. Yeah, I would say that as well.
But with much more because it's flipped. It's not a monster. It's a beautiful woman. So it's like,
a little excited there. Yeah, a little bit excited, mate.
But yeah.
It's all right. We'll go to Papa John's after this. Yes. Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Shoegaze. Oh, there's the gum. Holy. Nah, it's still in there.
Oh,
Shoegaze says, Barbie for people who listen to Bjork. 4.5 stars. So.
Whoa. Kind of. Yeah.
I disagree.
I understand there's like there's a lot of feminism themes in it, but it's not Barbie.
No, I didn't feel that either.
It's
what a fucking idiot. Everyone was saying Barbie comments on the letterbox. I think everyone just jumps on a trend, sees one person
write
it.
Yeah.
Pack of losers. Cameron says Pornocchio. 4 stars. Again, I don't know. I guess it's like Giuseppe's like creation.
There are lies in it, I will say. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, but yeah, because she's kind of built sort of thing. She's like the doctor's creation.
Yeah, and then lots of sex.
I can see Pornocchio.
Okay,
yeah.
It's probably better than Barbie for people listening to Bjork, I guess.
It makes me laugh, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eddie Burback says, I just know that house smells crazy. 4 stars.
Oh, man. That house smells sweaty.
It stinks.
I get that stank.
Yeah.
That juice stank. All right.
It smells like Norma's place. You want me to go first score?
Yeah, you do it.
Nugs time. I'm giving this 7 out of 10 nugs.
Ooh, I'll give it an 8.5
Whee!
Nugs out of 10.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. All with the usernames Butts to Nuts. Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.